This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 304 pounds. That's right, folks, he's coming back down. From the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, it's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine, from A Star Is Born, abortion is healthcare. Slightly less dated reference. Thank you, Jackson. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studio is my daily silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur, not currently in here because we're getting our rug steam cleaned, so he's barking at the steam cleaner guy. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios from the Adult Think Podcast. You know him, you love him. We got Jordan Carlis and Michelle Buteau.
Hello. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Dude, that felt like Sunday. I felt like you were going to announce a
Gatorade mustard truck. Watching you doing that intro. That is wild. I need to touch my toes and cat cow. You
wow.
Need to lose some core strength.
Oh my gosh! It feels like you're gonna do a monster truck show at the Wilmington Coliseum one night only.
I'm telling you,
and the
you,
Gravedigger will be there.
It's giving
I love
ketamine
it, man.
And Renaissance yeah. fans. Oh my god! Does your right
Roosevelt
eye have a
Raceway
heartbeat?
Is what we had on Long Island.
Roosevelt Raceway, I love it.
by the way, I'm always a little self-conscious to do that, but it does. But it was all worth it for Michelle's face the second I started, where it was like a true surprise, like. Oh, okay. What did I sign up for here, Jordan?
I knew this is well within your wheelhouse. This is a man. John Gabris is the best. John Gabris has, and your audience knows this, but a tat of Long Island on your arm.
Two tattoos.
On your arm?
I've got a bicep of Long Island.
Yes.
And I've got the word food in a heart on my right arm.
Yes.
And that broke
Guy
my mind.
Guy Fieri could never.
Yeah, come at me, Guy. I'm the true Italian dump truck who eats fried food. I'm so stoked to have you guys on, man. I've known Jordan forever, but I've been a fan of Michelle for just as long. So this is this is rad for me.
Absolutely. Feelings mutual, man.
And the topic you guys threw out really spoke to me. So that was like a real interesting thing because I'm 41 and I'm finally really just discovering my style. And by discovering my style, I'm realizing 1995, when I was 13 years old, is the style like I still want at 41. And I just want to kick this conversation off with, got this last week. If you're seeing it.
Ooh. Oh, what?
It's
hold on.
Oh,
little,
he's got an
this.
Earring.
I'm pinning this. I
got.
Oh, my God.
I got an earring at 41 years old last week.
Yeah, you did. Look at you.
It is giving divorced dad that doesn't know how to pay his alimony. I love it.
That's my entire vibe. My entire vibe is uncle or weekend dad. Like, that's so you caught me.
Yeah, it's giving Scarface poster with a pull-up bar. I love it.
Now swivel the computer to show us all that.
I've got like the mannequin boxing bag and shit, you know, like
just the top torso.
The top torso for no
listen,
kids.
But Gabris, I gotta tell you, man, I always thought you have great style. You have like wear these floral print shirts often. You look like a New Orleans homicide detective. It's a good vibe, man. And or Houston. You could be Houston or New Orleans.
Someone one time referred to me as the guy that the CIA meets up with in Cuba who's been there for too long.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, yes, welcome to my island.
Yes. It's like I got this guayabera and an XXL, bitch. Let's go.
You're the contact. You're the contact. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think weirdly enough, my late 30s, early 40s kind of lined up with the pandemic in a way where the pandemic, I think, was also a reset to help set fashion for myself, where I was like,
sure.
I stopped wearing jeans and khakis in the pandemic, and I have not gone back post-pandemic.
Yeah.
I've been calling them hard pants, and I refuse to wear hard pants going forward.
Hard pants. I like that, man. That was a moment for me, too. Everybody just got into
it. Was, Jordan. That was your moment, too.
That was my moment.
Jordan
I got into
used to, like,
yeah.
So we do adulting shows, like our podcast, adulting. We do live shows, and now we do live and remote shows because of the pandemic. But before the pandemic, like, Jordan was always running around, never had time, busy dad, busy community, busy. And so he'd show up in, like, these dad jeans with, like,
yeah.
Was there, like, masking tape out, like, at a hole at some point?
It was, like, it was painter's tape.
It was definitely giving, like, yeah. It was giving Today Show makeover. And I was like, Jordan, you were such a handsome dude. What is happening? You're like, Michelle, you don't understand how busy I am. I'm like, we are never too busy for nice pants, friend. And then in the pandemic, like, he just turned into, like, an R&B producer. Like, I don't know what happened. It's like, he found his inner P. Diddy.
Michelle absolutely crushing at 100% hit rate on her similes. Like,
it's all true. There's no lies. I definitely wanted to dress like Drake. I was like, let me dress like Drake a little bit, but on a budget. And, you know, just got way into athleisure. And I think everybody...
Yeah.
Once you hit 40, you definitely want to be more comfortable in your clothing. Yet you also, you're like, okay, maybe it's time for a reset in how I look, you know, because it's why
you get first class tickets instead of premium economy. It's elevated comfort. You still want to relax and have fun. But if you've been working for, like, let's say 20 odd years, which you have been, because most people have been working since they're in high school or college. By the time you're in your 40s, your New Year's resolution should be to upgrade. Like, my resolution in my 30s was more sex, less people. LOL, that's how I met my husband. But, like, in your 40s, upgrade. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to upgrade. Elevated,
you know what
casual.
You love. That the thing that, like, you know what you like at by your time you're in your 40s. You know what you like. Mm-hmm. You know what looks good on you. You know what other people like on you, i.e. a partner or your friends are like, who gas you up with, like, shit, those new glasses look awesome, Jordan. You're like, yeah, I do look good with clear frames. I should look for some dope. And then... Also, when you're 40, you start to understand, like, when you're in your 20, when you're 25, you're like, I should have 10 shirts. When you're 40, you're like, I should have 5 awesome shirts. Like, or, you know, or 20 awesome, you know, even more. But you start to go, like, this is not clothing, but this is a perfect example. My wife and I, before the pandemic, 38 years old, 39 years old, bought, like, a $5,000 sectional for our living room, which is just, like, an insane amount of money, more than anything I own. I don't own a car. I don't own jewelry. Nothing is that expensive.
Congrats.
In my life. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. I'm like sweating. I've only bought couches off the street and Craigslist before this. You know what I mean? And then it comes and you're like, right, we're fucking 40. We're going to have this couch for 10 to 15 years. Now I have an amazing couch that now I understand that dad energy. I'm obviously a childless 40-year-old, but, like, the dad energy of, like, take a look at that yard, huh? Like, take a look at this couch. Like, I stand with my hands on my hips and just, like, look at my couch and go, this was a good investment. It's getting steam cleaned right now. That's how much we like that fucking couch.
I love it. I love that for you.
And it's those choices. It's like that, like you're saying, like, time to fly first class. Fuck it. I know it's, like, financially untenable, but if I have to fly, I might as well be comfortable when I arrive and be
try to upgrade.
Resting. Yeah.
It's also sort of like the American way to get fast everything. Food, fashion, everything's just got to be fast. And we never think about the quality. It's just like more. But now you've watched something that you bought for like $30 and it's shrunk. Do you know what I mean? And so, you know, if we're just, you know, what I don't understand is, like, everyone's into eating healthy and being vegan and, like, a skinny margarita. And that's great, too. But, like, what about the other stuff? Like, it can't just be with your kale salad. And I think, you know, whether it's your furniture or your car, you know, shit that's sustainable that, you know, will last and make you look and feel good is the way to go. But also, like, we don't fully understand that till later in life, because I don't think, like, our parents really got it, because, you know, the last couple of generations is just like, you know, get that shit done and quickly. I mean,
well, I think our generation specifically, too, like, I can't speak exactly to your upbringings, but, like, I think we're of the age where our parents were like, you don't need a fancy car. You got to get from here to there.
Exactly.
That was my dad. My dad drove to and from the city every single day in, like, old beater cars with, like, stick shifts in traffic. I'm like, Dad, fucking, you spend 3 hours a day in your car. Treat yourself to something that is comfortable. And then and he's like, nah, you know, it's like this, like, that sacrifice mentality. And I think I carried that torch for a while. I was like, who? I don't fucking care. I got this t-shirt free at a gig. I'll wear it every week, for, you know, and I'll roll it in. And then you get older and you're like, it fits me a little weird. Let me get something that fit. And then you find the coolest thing about being a grown up is you're like, oh, these pants fit perfectly. Go back on the website. Four pairs, assorted colors, double XLs.
Oh, yes.
Maybe two in the same color. Man, you're like, the rust looks awesome on me. Let me get two pairs of the rust so I could straight up donate the one when I get inevitably get oil on it.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's giving Rain Man supermarket sweeps. I'm here for it.
Dude, honestly, I feel sometimes like a cartoon character where I'm like, shit, these shirts fit awesome. And I'm like, double XL, this company, these shirts fit. Okay, I like these four patterns. Get them. Especially, I'm adding a layer here that I have a weird body for shopping for clothes. Not weird to look at. But I have like broad shoulders, a huge gut, no ass, big hips. Like I have like such a strain. Yeah. That sounds like an awful rap song.
I'm right here. Are you describing me? But isn't it fun that
we have the same body? Me and Michelle,
we have the same body. Girl, we have the same goal weight, the whole thing. Isn't it fun that we can get tankinis?
Let's go.
Different colors now.
That cabbie life now. Yeah.
It's true. But it's so true. Like now the fashion industry has decided to accept our money and deemed us worthy of, you know, looking good. So
I love
wear them shorts.
The forecaster at some, you know, clothing company comes in and goes, hey, we did some research and people who are large also have money. And they're like, oh, maybe we should make clothes that they feel good in. And it's like, really? It's like, they're not going to hit the runway, but make a fucking shirt in my size for crying out loud. And it's more and more it's happening. And more, it used to be like a guy my size, you'd have to wear just like champion. You know, you'd have to dress like a bouncer at like a bar. You know, you'd have to just wear like a champion polo or some shit. Like you had to look like a offensive line coach.
But oh, my God. For my whole like childhood, like my teenage years. And then also early 20s, I looked like a Greek widow everywhere I went because the only thing available in my size was black. And so people would literally be like, thoughts and prayers. And I'm just like, what? I'm just giving you Puerto Rican Johnny Cash. Don't worry about it. Like, I try to make it work, but I'm like, it'd be nice to wear something other than black.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. It's like, I feel like that same guy who's like, large people have money. It's like, I also hear that they like colors. And it's like,
I know. Because
black and navy blue and gray were the only things for so long in the double XLs.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Especially for the big bitches. It's all like animal print. So I'm just like, why am I giving a safari big five on my ass right now? Yeah, this is not okay. It's triggering. Anytime somebody brings cheetah, I'm like, take it away. It's just triggering.
Let me say something. John Gabris has the boldest fashion of most dudes I know. You, whenever you pose on IG with your wife and you have some new ensemble, it's like crazy, dude. You look like you're from out of Central Casting, guest star, maybe 3 arc in Miami Vice. It's like insane. You always look great, man. You always look great because you take risks and chances on your fashion. And I think you shouldn't stop doing that in your 40s either. I think people are often calling like you know, you're old. You're old. You should sit down. You should like this, that, the third. I always feel like, you know, lean into how you look. Because I definitely tried to kind of like fade in or fit in. And now more than usual, not like all the time, I'll buy something that helps me like stand out a little bit more. You know, I definitely am comfortable playing second fiddle. And now, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do next, y'all. I mean, we got a show coming up and I need a new outfit. Maybe this is the show where we do it. And I go to a place called Snipes, which the
what?
Young youth. Yeah. You know, Snipes.
No, I don't. I know Wesley. That's why I was curious if it's at all related.
He does not own it.
I go there. They don't charge any tax.
Yeah. Zero tax. He still hasn't learned his lesson. No, but
it's all black leather dusters and Oakleys and shit. You just dress like Blade.
Oh, my God. Are Jordan you going to come to our show looking like The Matrix? What the fuck is going to happen?
Jordan rolls in the full Daywalker kit for your show. I got to be there.
I know.
I thought this was
he's
a safe
like
space.
Just came from a PTA
this was a
meeting.
Safe space. I know. I like people. I love being a dad, but I love people are like being like, oh, you have kids? I love that. I love when
that's
people
a good
like,
energy.
Yeah. It's a good energy because there's a lot of sad dad energy out there, especially at the playground. A lot of like gray skinned men No offense to white people, but there's a lot of gray-skinned men out there.
You can be outside for a little bit with your kids every once in a while. Get a little kiss of vitamin D, would you?
You know what it is, too? Like, for all the white men listening to your podcast, don't believe the hype, motherfuckers. You need lotion, okay?
Yes.
Enough. You're not like some bougie bitch that doesn't need cream on their face. I mean, look. Skin cancer alone. Get yourself a little lotion with some SPF in it. You need it. Trust me.
You moisturize, don't you, Gabrus?
Oh, of course. Every time I run into a crusty 40-ish white guy from outside of a New York and LA, they're always like, they look 10 years older than me. And they're always like, what the fuck, man? And I'm like, I drink a ton of water and I moisturize. Like,
man.
And that's all from my wife. That did take, because, you know, I'm just like, I'm a guy. I don't need that. And then I'm like, oh, my skin feels so much nicer.
Yeah.
Here's the trigger point for big white guys, I'm going to guess. Back of the fucking tricep elbow area, t-shirt rests, and like your hair, your arm hair kind of goes away. It gets like chicken skinny if you don't fucking take care of it.
Oh my God. It looks like the witch in every movie that has to kill all the young women to stay alive. Like, that's what the back of your arm looks like. So use fucking lotion. Okay?
Again, another fucking home run simile from Buteau. It's so nasty back there. It's like red and pockmarked. It looks like a fucking like a trucker's ass, and then you have to fucking
It looks like if you ever Google image eczema, even if you don't have it, that's what the back of your arm looks like.
Oh.
And then picture your like it's gross, like your ass, all of it. Like, put some lotion on. You're not above it. You can go to Costco and get a manly lotion that smells like pine trees.
We're stumbling on another topic too, and this is probably more for it goes down a gender divide a little bit more for men versus women, but I feel like as you get older too, like I got a body wash I liked when I was like 36. Okay. I'm still using that body wash. It's a little, you know, it's not cheap, but over the course of years, you used to be like, whatever's in the shower. And then you are like, well, now I have my lotion, my face wash, my shampoo. When I go travel now, I got to bring like a fucking full blown toiletry kit rather than like a toothbrush in my fucking backpack. And that feels good. It feels good to have your stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I don't know if any of the ladies or gay men are listening to this.
Of course.
If you go to someone's house and you go in their bathroom, if they just have a plastic toothbrush that they got for free on an airline, run the other way. You don't have time for all that. You're better off fostering a puppy. Like, no.
If they have that,
take that apart.
If they have that at a hotel, I'll give them a pass. If they keep at their house, like free, like, and it's like a hotel shampoo and shit get the fuck out of there.
If their bathroom is only sampled,
what are you about to defend, Jordan?
Molly, you in danger, girl.
I definitely swipe hotel toothbrushes and keep them aplenty because I am a total dodo bird. I have no idea where I put my stuff. And it's very important. My wife is so organized and she packs all the toiletries. So what do? I just steal hers. It's great. I smell so floral and fresh.
That's why you're going to stay married.
That's why
you will love her forever. I love my husband forever because I work too hard to take a trash out and or walk a spider out the fucking door. So I will love him forever, no matter what happens. Like, whatever goes down between us, that trash is 2 times a week. I can't. I need him.
I'm staying married via doing the dishes and cleaning up the our dining room table after the meal. Those are my two specialties.
Yes, that's good, I love it.
Either my two specialties or two things my wife has slowly like taught me to do exclusively on my own by just not helping at all. Like, two ways to explain it is like, oh, by never pitching in here, this has become my hobby. Thank you, hon.
Find your lane and swim in it. It's wonderful.
For fuck's sake. I do feel that as you get older, also, I mean, like, I got myself a tuxedo. I was done renting them. And I was like, I need a tux, so I got a tux.
Yes.
And it's everything to be able to fit into it. It's just like, that's my goal. It's just like, stay in the tuxedo.
Beyonce Renaissance tour. You're like, got to get into this. This is the big moment. Got you. That's your silver horse you must ride.
Listen, those socks go on first. They don't go on last. They go on first. I don't want to split my freaking pants.
What in the black James Bond is going on, Jordan? You better be solving crimes internationally, paying taxes.
Listen, when you get old and you're a parent, you have to go to galas. Galas? Galas? Girl,
depends.
I don't know.
I think it depends.
Yeah. They want you to raise more money. It's always raise more money. You're at a public school. I'm already paying for this with taxes. Not gonna raise more money? What is going on? So it's like it's important that you have looks to go out, and you want to look good, but you don't want to look. Yeah, you don't want to look like you're going to the freaking Emmys. You want to look like, you know, you're going to whatever PS94.
Yeah. A gala.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, a gala.
A gala? Gala or gala? I guess I've heard all three now at this point.
It's actually a gala, and nobody knows that they don't pronounce
it. Gala, gala Island?
Yes.
Gala, gala. Exactly. Go play together in.
You know what, though? Once you actually buy a tux, you will actually get invited to more things that require a tux. That's how that goes.
Huh. Yes. Yes. It's like once you get a pickup truck, more people ask you to help them move. Like,
it's true. It's true.
It's dress
Everybody
for the...
needs a Christmas tree this year. What the fuck?
Dress for the gala you want. That's the old expression, right?
Ooh.
I have noticed that my old carcass has been able to get into like nightclubs if I am wearing a tuxedo. If you wear a tuxedo and not a tie, people are like, well, this guy's doing fancy stuff. And they let you into nightclubs. Like, it's kind of a crazy thing.
You are. If I saw you outside a nightclub with, like, no bow tie and just a tux, I'd be like, it's definitely giving head writer for Donald Glover. Like, give him his flowers. He cuts the line. Yeah.
Let this guy in. Yeah. He's either a sports agent or an author.
Yeah, he definitely just struck a deal at CAA.
He's gonna tip well. That's all I know.
He like was definitely involved in Jerry Maguire.
I wrote that episode of Atlanta that's like so weird. It's just the whole cast is just
a dozen of turtles.
Oh, yeah.
All 12 of the weird ones.
Yeah, this guy, he's the next Jordan Peele. Let him in.
Jordan Carlos, the next Jordan Peele. If you can't get Jordan Peele, get Jordan Carlos.
I'm around.
That's right. The Jordan, otherwise known as the Jordan we can afford.
Absolutely. I am the, what is that? Nick Nolte and the other guy. Who's the other guy that's like, my God.
Gary Busey.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that assist. You told me not to be specific, and here I am not being specific. No, but I think most of it's like also you got to up the game in your dress because I feel like my wife was running out of road and a little patience with how I looked because I looked like a mile of bad road. She looks great. She would always like put.
She's
put
evolving. Time and energy. She's getting better.
Yeah.
Cuter, tighter, smarter. We were all there on the set, like
better, also, cuter, tighter, smarter, better, cuter, tighter, smarter.
The death, death won't kill you. Listen, wait, hold up, Ma, did you leave?
We making chicken tonight, or what?
The answer comes from outside into your window. Yes.
Come say bye before you leave. Sorry, my mom's leaving. She came to visit me for the weekend and the kids, mostly the kids.
Oh my God. That was the Jersey intercom right there. That was a Jersey intercom.
I know. Mom, did you get my hoagie from Wawa? I want it oil and vinegar.
Throw it to you for a second, Michelle. As you've gotten of age, have you found something that you like an article of clothing or a way of dressing that you're like, shit, this was not recently a part of my life, or like, oh man, I finally got the confidence to do blank or the comfort level to do blank. What's changed for you?
I wrote a book called Survival of the Thickest, Plus Size Essays in a Small-Minded World, because there was like this growing up plus size. There's always this thing where the world tells you you're not beautiful because you're not fuckable by patriarchal standards. And so you have to go out and find that education for yourself. Cause that's one of those things that you just have to overcome. And I did that in a lot of different ways, like finding my inner hoe, traveling, seeing what other bodies look like. You know, I just did a lot of things for myself. And so, you know, looking back on it, I always had the confidence to wear these things. They just weren't readily available for me. And so by the time I got to 38, 39, 40, I was almost like a low budget seamstress, like, because I've just been figuring out how to make it work for me for so long, because there is like that thing where I did want to like shine out, but like it was just black and sequins. And so I had this this aha moment for me was like, oh, fuck, it isn't me that needs to catch up to the world. It's the world that needs to catch up to me.
Yes.
And so when I say I'm really happy this the fashion industry has Plus now, it's also to, like, real talk, save lives. I knew a lot of big girls that were, like, fucking suicidal because they just didn't feel worthy. And I'm like, you better take that big ass and take it somewhere and fucking show everybody how wonderful you are, right? And it's different now. Like, I have freckles. I've always had them. People made fun of me for them. Now people are getting freckles. I have curly hair. People are like, why don't you straighten it? I did for a while. That didn't work for me. Now people are getting their hair. Like, now people are getting, like, Brazilian butt lifts. And so it's like, whatever that thing is that you're like, how do I figure this out? That's the thing that's going to, like, be the most celebrated. So just, like, trust that. And that can come at any age. You can come at 20. You can come at 60. You don't fucking know. Look at fucking Martha Stewart is on the cover of fucking Sports Illustrated. She's 81, bitch. She looks like she still gets moist on her own.
That makes you want to get it. That makes you want to have $1 billion real bad seeing her look like that at 81. I'm like, damn, I need that Martha Stewart money ASAP.
81, 85. She definitely, yeah, whatever edibles she's taking, whatever fucking whale sperm she's putting on her face, you let me know.
Lucky
I will put
whale.
In the super code to buy some for me and both of y'all and your wives, okay?
Promo code but, Martha. Promo code whale.
That item, item for me, though, to get back to it, because she does go off on like a fucking big titty TED talk sometimes.
No, I'm here for those. Literally, my search terms is big titty.
Google image, it's me.
Oh, hi, Michelle.
But a crop top. I always thought like a crop top was just something skinny people could wear because it was only available for them. And now there's plus size crop tops. And I've never felt more alive. I said, God damn, look at this. Sitting down in a crop top, belly everywhere. Don't give a fuck. Just proud of it. Pictures. Yes. Reaching for something on the high shelf. The fucking lower titty hanging out being like, oh, well. It is what it is, bitch.
I mean, Michelle, I mean? it's actually the next shelf up. Nope, higher. Yes. Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy. We know that. Humans know that. Yet kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. Why don't you try something fresh? Okay, how about the farmer's dog? It's real food. You feed your dog the farmer's dog. It's real fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies, gently cooked in human-grade kitchens to preserve the nutritional value. What if you found out they were cooked by dogs, too? That would be fun. Personalized, just tell them about your dog, and they'll deliver personalized, vet-developed recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, conveniently delivered on your schedule. Dog people all across the country have ordered millions of people from the farmer's dog. That's, of course, people who are big fans of and supporters of dogs, not people who are half dog, half people. It's never been easier to invest in your dog's health with fresh food. Go to thefarmersdog.com/mighty. Get 50% off your fresh box of healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/mighty. And you get free shipping. Just go to farmersdog.com/mighty to get 50% off. That's the FARMERSDOG.com/MIGHTY. FarmersDog.com/mighty. 50% off your first box and free shipping. You said something in there that I want to talk about real quick. There's that moment when I grew up wearing, I wore Speedos because I was on the swim team and I was a Jones Beach lifeguard and we wore like little boy shorts. As I got older, I was like that. I struggled to get into them in high school. Then when they were for work and for competing, I was like, oh, that's cool. Then I went back to like knee length board shorts like everyone else. But in the last few years, maybe 5 years ago, I had like a level of uncomfortability with my own body. And then I realized that a lot of it, like you're talking about sitting there. I couldn't imagine sitting straight up with my shirt off in front of people for so long, just because that is like one of the most unflattering if you're a big bellied person like myself. Mm-hmm. But then I realized I'm in the heads of other people. I actually am more comfortable. If it's warm and sunny, I am more comfortable with my shirt off. I just didn't feel more comfortable because I was in the heads of strangers.
Yes.
Once I got out of their heads, my whole thing fucking came undone. Like, my whole thing came together. And then I had this moment where I was like, looking at myself in the mirror in board shorts versus looking at myself in the mirror in a Speedo. And I was like, even if I do look markedly worse in this Speedo, say I look 10% worse in this Speedo, I feel 20% better in the Speedo for some reason. So I'm overall net positive, feeling better. So I started to say, well, then who fucking cares? I'm only not wearing a Speedo because I'm worried that it looks unflattering, but I feel great. Who am I trying to flatter? And so now I've really come, and Michelle, you said something about traveling and seeing other people. I'll tell you what, old Italian men and old beach bums set me down a path where I'm like, you could just have a big tan belly and a big gray beard and fucking drink a Negroni, cigar, salami hero on a boat. These guys, like the heavy set Italian, they have like four gumadas that are like beautiful, you know what I mean? It works
forever.
Yes, and
people
love
them.
I saw
people still want to touch their dick. They still make money. It's fine.
Yes,
it's fucking fine.
And Michelle,
isn't that crazy?
I'm like, this guy fucks. This guy gets money. I'm like, I could be that. That's amazing. Yeah. And that I found my way into my fashion via like heavy set beach bum guys and like Italian and Greek men, big hair. I wear a gold chain now. Gold chain, a Speedo. Like I'm fucking living my life out there, and it's all 6 years ago, I would be like remiss to pop my shirt off. Now I take my shirt off when I'm walking my dog. That's fucking crazy. I mean, that's a little more tolerable in Los Angeles. It's not as, like, if you did that in like New York, it could be considered a little weird. In LA, it's a lot of CrossFitters popping their tops. Not a lot of guys built like me hiking shirtless, but I don't give a fuck anymore.
Zero
and it rules. Yeah.
Robin
and
Roberts,
I feel better.
You had your shirt off when we talked to Robin Roberts. It was nuts. At the airport.
That's the one reference. Got it. You got it in.
Absolutely. You know what's crazy? Back home in Texas, they used to do that a lot in the 80s. People would like walk around, and it didn't matter what kind of body you had. People would walk around without a shirt on. I don't know if you remember this time in the 80s or if it was done in Jersey and Long Island, but people would be like, it'd be like no shirt, no shoes, no service was on the door at like McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, you name it, Walmart. So you had to have a shirt on. Now, I probably am just like describing Texans, but like
you might be, but I'm here for it.
We were just knuckle dragging mud folk, but like people didn't. I remember my dad not wearing like his shirt and just like having a belly out, mowing the lawn, going for errands, things like that. And I was like, oh, that's great. But then as the 90s developed, like you had to cover up more. And everybody covered up, right? You wore very baggy clothing, and that's just what the style was. For me, I wonder what I'm gonna dress like in the next 10 years. I wonder if I'm gonna get like pay more attention to like GQ magazine or like
materials. That's another thing. Probably. That's like a grown up thing that I'm noticing is like I care a lot about what the stuff feels like now too.
Yeah.
That wasn't something I always cared about.
Oh, 100. Like, I mean, I like to go by season. So like this summer, I'm going to Amsterdam for the whole summer with my family because my husband's from there.
Oh,
we won't
have
a car.
Have fun. That's awesome.
I mean, the edible game is strong, so I'm going to be fun mom. everything, the kitchen will be organized.
Mom needs to go to the coffee shop again, kids. Hold on. Be right out.
No. That's mama's space cake. That's your cake.
That one's on the high shelf with the lower titty hanging out.
Let me get it real quick. I think I got it.
Oh, no.
Oops, is it? My tit fell out. Ooh, pillow fight. Mama's fine. But I am thinking about my wardrobe, so I like to go in seasons. You know what I mean? The cool thing about being with a European guy is that like he's like, do these gypsy pants that are oversized. It doesn't have to be tight and short. Like it can be loose and baggy and comfortable because that's also fun, you know? And so he really has helped me discover my inner Puerto Rican Tilda Swinton, where I'm like, this is cool.
And he can dress. Heist is a great, like, he is very fashionable guy. He has great shoe game. Shoe game increases as you get older. Shoe game is important. Oof. It's like, well, maybe you slow
down. You realize
down,
your feet stop growing. You realize that, like, yes, my waist fluctuates, unfortunately, but my feet almost always are the same size. Sometimes post-flight, I got to cut a pair of sneakers off or whatever. But after I've won too many binges, I got to cut my sneakers off. But Shoes are important. Once you're like, I'm a size 12. I know it. I'm not shrinking. I'm not growing anymore. Mm-hmm. I could spend some loot on sneakers now. I could spend some loot on shoes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many sneakers is an acceptable amount of sneakers? That's, I think I want to know the answer. I want to know the answer. And I look to your wisdom, both of you, as we get older, what's an acceptable amount of sneakers?
I'm not a sneakerhead guy. Like a lot of my friends are. A lot of my 40-year-old comedy friends of all races are huge sneakerheads.
Yeah.
Comedians are.
Michelle Wolf, we're talking to you, bitch.
Yeah. Adam Pally, you're being read, bitch.
Michael Che.
We're coming for you.
Don't get it. Just like everybody, start naming everybody.
There is most people.
She wore all like wedges,
all the comics at West Side Comedy. I would say a good 10 pair is okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have three for like working out, because sometimes you have like the old ones that you can wear hiking and this and that. So you have like three that are like working out. Yeah. And then you have the other ones that are like for show. But I think it's also nice to have like a good pair of sandals, man, or like a sandal game, like a good ass sandal game. That's pretty tight. You know what's really, I find very attractive on men this summer is like the short shorts and like the button down shirts that match.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, the whole flow.
I like that. That has a name and I forget what it is. It's like camp fit or something. It's like some sort of name for it that works. And that's a cool, I like that look a lot. I'm a sandal guy. I hate to ask the black dude on the podcast, but what's your opinion on sandals? I don't know many of my black friends rocking sandals. Unless
J's,
it's got slides with
the
socks.
J's to the beach. The J's to the beach. The Tim's to the beach. Work boots at the beach. No one sees these toes. My toes are actually white. No one has actually seen. They've never seen daylight. Nah, I mean, I was raised in the suburbs, so I was raised with wolves. But so
you're Gucci.
Oh, I definitely wear flippy floppies. I had to learn that about my own culture. I was like, what are you talking about? We don't wear flip flops.
We don't wear these? Oh, man. They're so perfect for going to the pool. The pool? You're going to the pool?
I wear them on stage. I let my toes be
with
free.
Jeans.
With jeans. I'm a problem. Ooh. I'm a city sandal guy. I definitely have had, ptomaine, sepsis, all these terrible things that you can get.
Flip-flops, you're legend. Funny because like women are doing that all the time. But it's just like when a dude does it, there's something like, even you're like, are you crazy?
Is he okay?
Yeah.
Because when I was in my early 20s, these was a Brazilian brand of sandals, Havaianas, came out, and that was like everybody had to have Havaianas.
Yeah, that was the Sambas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I got those Havaianas,
and they're
and then
like,
I wasn't,
they're like the flips with like nothing to them, right?
Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like if I didn't know you, Jordan, and I seen you in some jeans and some flip flops and your glasses, I'd be like, I would. Not like so non-threatening. I'd be like, oh, this guy definitely has a jumper cable in his trunk. Like he
and I
somehow...
do. I definitely do. Yeah. First aid, jumper cable, spare tire, all that. Don't worry. I got
goldfish snacks for the kids in case of low blood sugar.
I wouldn't ask you to help me bring my stroller up and down the steps though, because I feel like you trip.
I can slip easily. I can slip. There's no grip in those
quite
things.
Easily. So you definitely want to think about that.
I'm a flip-flops guy. I'm a flip-flop guy, not for long walks, but I will rock them to the beach. I haven't done it on stage yet, but it's a little inspiring.
It's bold.
It's harder with improv because you got to move
a
little more.
Not on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Not on a Friday night.
But I'll tell you what, I got my toes done. That's a new thing for me in the last 2 years.
Girl, you better treat yourself.
What color?
I got, it's called Tutti Frutti. It's hot pink. But something else I've learned is that it's fun. Like your toes are almost always hidden. And then when they're not, it's either like for summer or a loved ones or whatever. As a man, your toes are almost always in. When you pop them out and they're pink, it makes me excited to see color. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, a little fun pop of color. Like I wear bright colored sneakers all the time. And then I take my shoes off and my feet are just these like gray lumps. Nah, dude, let me get some. And now with flip flops, I like looked down at my feet and I'm like, Those are cute. Like, that's crazy.
You know what? I applaud this because, especially with like this whole movement of non-binary and trans people trying to find a safe space in the world mm-hmm. to live their truth, I'm just like, let's normalize this shit, man. It's just color. It's just our bodies. It's just our toes. And so when my 4-year-old son was like, I want to get my nails painted like you and Hazel, his sister, aww. I'm like, let's go. And so his nail color was pink, purple, like, give me one nail pink and one nail purple. And what's so that's dope awesome. Is like, he looks at his nails with pride. I see it. I'm like, that's so dope. And he's just showing everybody his nails. He's like, look at my nails. I say, yeah, aww. You better. Yeah. And then when people like say some shit about it, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You keep that to yourself. Whatever you think men and women are supposed to do, that is very black and white. And we are dealing with shades of gray in between. That's just yeah. love and unity, bitch. So back the fuck up. Okay.
Lucky. He hasn't been steeped in a fucking stew of toxic masculinity for 25 yeah. years, yeah. like people yeah. of our generation.
Yeah.
It took me so long to like come around to getting. I was like a year ago. I was like, I think I want a dangly earring, one ear. Like I like. Mm. I'm starting
yes!
to lean into like this.
You fucking rock star.
So I was like, fuck it. And I got a piercing. I'm rocking a pedicure. I go home though. I have nephews, I have brothers, I have a mom, and they're all like stuck, you know, Long Island, and I think it's only 1975 on Long Island right now. So they're still dealing with like OPEC shit over there.
Yeah.
I'll go home and my nephew will be like, Uncle Nani, why are your toes painted? And I'll go, because I like colors and it's fun to have more colors in my on my body. And he's like, oh, and like my mom's like, Uncle Nani's a weirdo, that's why. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm weird, but not because of this. Like, just so you know. Like, I make a
weirdos
point.
Are cool.
I'm not pushing anything on my nephews, but I keep saying to the detriment of everyone in my family that you literally can do anything. I just keep saying stuff like, I'll be like, yeah, because this summer is the summer where I start pairing my Speedo with sarongs. I'm rocking.
I'm here for it. It's just giving Polynesian culture.
Dude,
I mean, have you seen Jason Momoa?
That's where I got the idea. I went to French Polynesia with my in-laws on a huge, like, went to Bora Bora, and these fucking big island dudes were all rocking sarongs with their slippers and a Speedo underneath or short shorts underneath, and I was like, this is the look. Like, so that way you don't have to, like, walk to the bar with your fucking little pecker frozen in the, like visible in your little Speedo. You could throw a little wrap on so you walk past the kiddie pool feeling safe, you know?
Yes.
So
I stand.
I'm introducing, I'm already searching. I've already messaged my Pacific Island friends going, is it cultural appropriation if I start wearing a lava? Let me
man.
Know. I won't get the rock tattoos and shit. I'll just rock the lava. Don't worry.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, do you? I mean, I feel also that it's important to, you know, kind of like acknowledge that maybe you feel one type of way about style or another. You know, like, okay, that you're on a spectrum. Like you're saying that you can wear a dangly earring. And that also there's a history of, you know, androgyny in culture, right? Like 17th century dukes and kings wore curly ass. Their wig game was crazy. The founding fathers' wig game was nuts, girl. And they wore like stockings, and they wore like sensible heels. And
I know
shit
they wanted
like,
bag. They wanted band drag, but everyone was fucking fully dolled up for the Constitution. Everyone was full doll for the fucking Declaration of Independence.
They fought a whole war like that. They fought a whole war in drag, dude. And it's like
in petticoats. They rocked petticoats for rumbles.
Petticoats, lipstick, you know, like this kind of like white powdery makeup.
Yeah, foundation.
Foundation. In fact, actually, one of the songs, Yankee Doodle Dandy, is the Macaroni Club. The Macaroni Club was actually a queer club in London. Right. So Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Dandy.
You know, mind the music and the step and let the girls be handy. So it's like handy as in like cover for you. So it's like be a beard. Right. So Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni. So it's like it's all about that's also a song not only about toxic masculinity that people don't know. But it kind of goes to show that there was androgyny in culture, and that there were people that felt like men are supposed to dress like this and not like this. However, like, kings were dressing like this. You know, Charles II was dressed like that. King George III was dressed like this. Like, it didn't matter, dude. Like, I went to this museum in Amsterdam, high off my face, and I swear to God, there was this guy that had Rick James. It was a statue, a bust. The dude had amazing Rick James energy.
Oh, did you go to the Rijksmuseum?
Yes, I went to the Rijksmuseum.
Yeah, I know what picture you're talking about.
The Rick James of it all. And he had the fullest lips, dude. The foot, like two Amsterdam tulips. It was just like, it was crazy. And
we got to give it up to the non-binary and trans homies for like breaking down the barrier for us cis homies to be like, yeah, I guess I can rock. I feel more comfortable rocking a dangly earring now because the person next to me is rocking two dangly. You know what I mean? Like, I love this blending of like, and even getting my ear pierced. I remembered like the 90s was right ear, you're gay, left ear, you're straight. Like that was the big thing. And I still did left ear. Like, and I don't know, like, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh yeah, I'm out of this toxic masculinity. And they were like, which ear, left or right? I'm like, left. I'm fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Wild. Like, you're buying a fucking gold earring at Maria Tesh. Stop saying I'm straight.
You know, I just mean to say that all of it, style, what style means, represents, what it signifies, is all a moving target. You know, it's all a moving target, and it's subject to change. I think what we can keep in mind is that just like we need to feel all the more free to express ourselves and not be held back. And, you know, hey, you only got so much time on this planet. Stand out. Don't blend.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's also like I always ask people to think twice before they say something, especially with kids now, because it's so detrimental, truly, because you're really putting your shit on someone else. Oh, yeah. And so it's like, if you don't like it, if you don't understand it, that's one thing. But like, think twice. Also, like, why do you think that? Right. Like, my most liberal family members will still say some shit where I'm just like, what in the 1955 are you even trying to serve right now?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So they can understand like racism, but they can't understand anything else outside of that. They're just like, that's something else. And so in a time now where people are in Texas, in Tennessee, in Florida, you will be arrested if you are a man in woman's clothing. Mm. Is fucking insane.
Wild.
Because it's just clothing, bitch. There are plenty of other people doing way worse things.
And what is women's clothing? Like long dresses? That's what priests wear. That's what, people wear in other cultures. That's what you wear to, you know, other cultures wear robes. Other cultures wear... And for us to be like, that's for women, that feels, I know the gender binary is gone, but it's crazy how much we stuck to the clothing gender binary.
I know.
Just like, it's just banana. I get where you need to divide the store in half to make shopping easy. I get it. But it's great. Like, one of the most infuriating things for me is when I'm sneaker shopping and I see an amazing pair of sneakers in a cool color.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, sorry, those are women's only." I'm like, "Can I try on a women's 14?" And they're like, "We don't carry that." I'm like, "Can you make a men's color in the purple colorways? Can you make the men's sneakers in the purple colorways? Cuz these are fire. I don't want the fucking black and gray ones. I want the purple ones." And they're like, "Sorry, women only." And I'm like, "Fuck, why?"
I know. I think that like I used to work in all the malls in Jersey because I'm from Jersey, and I think that malls should really be a little bit more inclusive. I know I'm going off on one, but hear me out. I know it's always giving Puerto Rican
Long Island
metal, but here the fuck we are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm just like, there should be sort of like a unisex section, real talk, because like, you know, I have a friend who likes to wear, she's gay, she likes to wear men's suits, and she's always, and I'm going with her into the men's part of the store, and they're like, "Is this for your boyfriend? Is this for your husband?" And it's like, we don't even need to get into all that backstory. And now she's like, she's got to take the men's thing to the woman's thing because they don't want to have it. I said, "This is a fucking lot. This is a whole fucking lot." You know what I mean? Meanwhile, you go to another country and everyone's just out here for free, off the shoulder t-shirt, just on a bike, unisex bathrooms. No one giving a fuck. It's just like, are you a good person? Do you tip well? That's it.
If I weren't in the career I'm in, I would definitely open up a haberdash for non-binary queer folks, just whoever. So haberdash is, you know, like bespoke suits where it's like Savile Row in London and it's like made to measure. And you're sitting on the right. You're stepping on the stool. I mean, that kind of stuff. Because yes,
why are you giving out ideas on a podcast? This is how we stay broke.
A super long bleep. If I wasn't in comedy, I would. I think he said blow up the World Trade Center.
No, nobody gonna buy that cow, honey. Ain't nobody gonna buy the cow.
All right.
Giving it away.
You're right. This is neither here nor there, but the heterosexual brain of mine has to say female presenting people look very sexy in suits and tuxes. That shit works. See Kristen Stewart in a suit and then tell me no suits. Sorry. See Janelle Monáe in a suit and tell me no suits. Get the fuck out of here.
I love seeing my wife in a suit. Ever since like Greta Garbo did it back in the 1920s, it's been awesome. And even then that movie got it got censored. But yeah. Anyway,
oh my goodness.
Point is, I love to see it. And I want to ask you guys this. I don't know. Now that I've hit 40s and I'm kicking 45 in the ass, do you ever strut when you guys are dressed? Do you ever feel like I strut?
Have you
a little
met
bit more?
Me? Dude, when we do our show,
when is Buteau not strutting? Is my question.
Have you met me? I'm walking like the winner and the loser of Drag Race. What do you even mean? I'll break out in a fucking Zumba class for one in the middle of the show just because.
It's true, she does.
So yes.
Yeah. Okay. Ain't
nobody gonna celebrate you like you gotta celebrate yourself.
I don't know if it qualified as strutting what you're doing. I'm like, is she strutting? Does she feel she's strutting? Like, what is she? Is she doing that? Is she doing it? Am I strutting?
I would say I probably strut, but it looks like a wrestling entrance more. But that's my version of strutting, you know? Come on stage, a little flex, a point, like a fucking, yeah, come on. Like, that's my version. I get amped up for that.
Luchador.
Just to jump back to something you said earlier, Michelle, you were like, we are not on this earth for that long, blah, blah, blah. I think that's part of turning why your fashion choices change at 40, too, because you're like, yeah. I already been bullied. We have friends who are passed away early and family members have passed away. And you were like, if I got 15 years left, am I really going to hold off on rocking a sarong? Am I going to just die with a fucking sarong in the closet, having never worn it? No.
Yeah.
Fuck that noise. And I think that's part of 40 obviously comes with maybe some more money or, you know, a little more financial stability or a little bit more understanding of what's important to you prioritization wise. It comes with a little bit more of the mortality, a little bit more of like, if I have 15 years, I want to look good and feel good while I'm here. Like I'm on the way out, I want to play it cool. So I feel like all that is in the stew of as you get older and you've seen styles, you've seen trends for now 30-ish years where you're like, you can nitpick, like you can, not nitpick, sorry. You could cherry pick some of your things like, ooh, dangly earring, ooh, Speedo, ooh, flip-flop. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, okay, this shit came and went, but it stuck with me. Like, minimalist shoes, like shoes with no bottom. Those were like nouveau like 5 years ago. I fucking cannot get enough of them still. And I just locked in. And now I'm the guy who's on eBay buying fucking minimalist shoes that aren't around anymore because I have a fucking thing I like. And it feels... Yes. It feels good.
Feels good.
Like, yeah,
it does.
You're not buying money to keep up with other people. You're not spending money to keep up with other people. You're spending money to keep up with your own ideas, which feels good.
Say it again and put it on a magnet, bitch. Yes.
How's your underwear game? How's your underwear? Because my underwear was
Jordan.
This is real because I hit 40,
no,
I was like, I need
no
to,
more holes.
I had so
no
many
more
holes.
Skin marks.
It looked like it was bad, man. My underwear looked righteous as they were.
I'm gonna
as though
be
they'd
honest,
been beatified.
Because there were so many.
here you go, right next to me, because I live in a tiny apartment. My underwear drawer is right here.
No.
Oh, look at Michelle. Look at my closet. Look at my shirts that are hanging here.
What did I fucking say?
Look how much color and shit is going on in the back.
I
told you. New Orleans homicide detective. Robbery and homicide.
Underwear is Jordan. Underwear is where men thrive because it's like you go fully into like spectrum-y mode where you're like, these underwear feel good, look good. All right, I'm gonna get 40 pairs of them. Like,
yes.
I'll say the when I knew I had decent money or a medium amount of money is when I would throw out underwear that was ripped. When you throw out a pair of ripped underwear because you have 14 pairs, like a grown up, that feels fucking good. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's my such thing as lucky underwear. Get rid of them fucking things. Good. They're not lucky.
Yeah, yeah. They're
my
not.
Mom uses my dad's underwear as rags around the house.
So
that...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Fruit of the Loom. Getting those windows nice and clean.
No. Oh,
now, that's some green stuff. That's a green lifestyle.
That's next level.
I like to hear it, but not for me. If my wife was like wiping down the table with my underwear, I'd have a hard time.
You know what? There was when I used to be an editor at NBC back in the Dizzy, we had a life and styles reporter who really was just like a dumb bitch who just got a job because she was purdy. But she used to do this thing where she could like tell a man by his shoes. I'm just like, bitch, you here because you got big titties, stop. But I can definitely tell if a man's got good underwear by his pants.
Interesting.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, your pants do say a lot about what's going on underneath, so don't forget.
What's a good clue? Like someone's got.
Well, for instance, when Jordan was showing up with ripped jeans, I was like, "Well, if it's like that on the outside,
what's he hiding on the inside?" Yeah, yeah. He's got.
Here's, you know what I mean? But yeah,
here's
no offense.
No
offense.
I hit rock bottom. With my jeans. Really, truly. I mean, those were an improvement upon where I was before. When I used to work in advertising, my thighs got real big. They got real big.
Oh.
And I would just rip holes in the crotchal area.
Always. Then, the same area, right?
Crotchal area, yes. Now here's the problem. This was before people started wearing boxer briefs. They hadn't come around yet. So I'm wearing boxers.
Yes.
And I got a hole down there. So yes, the bell came out. Once or twice, and I was like, wow, it feels really cold on my nut. And I'd be sitting in a seat, and yeah, little brown egg showing up in the middle
cage
of a
free.
Meeting.
Cage
free.
Not Easter.
Cage free. Goes where it wants to go. I was like, oh my, I was so embarrassed.
I'm so sorry.
So embarrassed.
I think boxer briefs. Boxer briefs is one of the most important advancement in men's fashion technology, because briefs just weren't for me because of my excessive thigh meat. But boxers weren't for me for the same reason, especially trying to go to the gym or go for a jog with boxers.
Yeah,
shit would be like fucking shredded. I'd be like wearing a fucking fringe skirt by the end.
Oh, terrible.
And when boxer briefs came around, I was like, game fucking changes.
100%.
Makes my package look a little better than it really is, too.
Oh, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Michelle
I'm
just shed
that.
A single tear for me.
I do feel that, like, upping your underwear game, though people can't see it, it makes you feel more confident and confident in the way you look. And it's a marker of age and maturity that you have a nice pair, a good pair. Like I wear look at me. I wear New Balance underwear, of course. So it's like New Balance dad underwear. It's good.
Sensible.
It's sensible underwear. It's the 990s of underwear and I love it. It's a good dad shoe. But in underwear.
Oh my
form.
God. Is this what it feels like to be the only man on The View? I'm like, okay, now I have to say something. What the fuck? For the ladies, underwear game, absolutely important. And, you know, also society has dictated what underwear we should wear because it's sexy. No, it's got to feel good. Fuck that lace up your crack and you're getting like a little, like situation between your butt cheeks, but you're like, it's sexy. It's not comfort. And there's a bunch of different stuff. You can go to Target, bitch, if you don't have money. Also a bra, get yourself a new bra, no matter what, even if you've already got new, get yourself a new bra. You walk different, period. You feel different. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You buy,
I had to say it.
When
you
do
buy
we know
nice
it's time
underwear.
To let go? Yeah. I'm sorry, John, please.
When you buy nice underwear, like you said, people might not see it, but you'll carry yourself differently. Bet you it ups the chances of someone seeing it too.
Ooh, it's like a tux. You better. Come on, Dr. Phil. Let's go.
Oh, I could talk for hours about your underwear, Jordan, but I'll let you guys get out of here. But before I have one plug for Amsterdam. I know the Van Gogh Museum is obvious choice, but my favorite paint, one of my favorite paintings, is Potato Eaters, and that's in there. And it's a heavy, dark ass painting that's like 4 feet by 3 feet. It's enormous. It's really a beautiful painting. It's one of my favorites. So take a chance when you go to Van Gogh on your little space cake and soak up the potato.
Did you
eaters.
Know it's actually not pronounced Van Gogh? It's
Van
pronounced
Gogh.
Oh, no wonder he did it.
I cut my ear off hearing that all the time, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yikes. I can't hear that shit.
Wait.
Oh, my God.
It's Van not Gogh. Van Gogh. It's Van Gogh.
Van Gogh.
So sad. Yeah. So sad. What a sad man. Yeah, my favorite is The Night Watch, ooh, which is supposed to be like, it's like Holland's most famous painting. They were like, you have to look at the Night Watch.
That's Rembrandt, right?
Yeah. Oh, look at... Oh, my God. Gabe Restrepo.
Oh, don't let the Long Island fool you, bitch.
Don't let the Long Island fool you.
Educated.
Minored in studio art in 2004. Some shit stuck for some reason. Some shit stuck.
Get it.
Love. Yeah, come on, so trivia fun, night. Man. Let's go. Bingo.
Bring me. Let's... Tell my listeners, aka the shitheads, where they can check out your guys' podcast and whatever else you guys have going on. Plug away, fam.
Oh my God.
Shitheads, what's up? You can check us out. The Adulting Podcast, wherever podcasts are sold. On ERM, Exactly Right Media. You can catch us there any old time. We got tons of episodes. Outside of that, I am on Instagram, the realer Jordan Carlos. Michelle, tell them where they can find you.
Oh my goodness, Michelle Buteau, that's B-U-T-E-A-U, bitch. I'm hosting a barbecue show on Netflix that's coming out called The Barbecue Showdown.
Yes.
Which is very exciting delicious at the same time. And I got a show coming out on Netflix called Survival of the Thickest.
I think my algorithm will serve me that no matter what. So don't worry. My algorithm's like, we know, bro. We got you. It's got thick in the title. It's for you. That's so awesome.
That's great.
I have listeners, you know my stuff, but I got Action Boys, a Patreon podcast. Check that out. And 101 Places to Party Before You Die, now on HBO Max. On HBO Max, I say 1 year after it came out, still on HBO Max for now until Zaslav decides he can save $40 by shooting it behind a barn. Let's go, Strikers!
Oh my God!
All day, man. All
yes,
day.
The Don't WGA captain up in this captain. Bitch. All right.
You know what it is. You know what it is.
Bye, shitheads. I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane. It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Well, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!